back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us this morning, this Wednesday, July 23rd and 7:30 Central Time. Joining me in the studio this morning, the Reverend Joel Hempel. He's the manager of Specialized Pastoral Ministry in the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. Good morning, Pastor Hempel. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Andy. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks so much for taking some time to come talk with us this morning about Specialized Pastoral Ministry. Now, what is Specialized Pastoral Ministry?
Well, let me first say what it's not. It's not specific ministry pastor.
SMP, this is SPM.
That's right. And that gets confused a lot. So specialized pastoral ministry are those specialties in ministry that include institutional chaplaincy, like hospital, hospice, in organizations where they have chaplains. But also emergency services chaplains like fire and police chaplains, pastoral counselors, and then clinical pastoral educators are those who teach others how to do that ministry, which is what my career has mostly been in the ministry, is teaching others how to do pastoral care and counseling.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. CPE, I believe, is what it's called, correct?
CPE, clinical pastoral education, correct.
Tell us more about that. What is clinical pastoral education? Does every pastor go through CPE, or how is it used? How is it beneficial?
Every pastor does not. There was some talk about that a while back, but at this point, that's not what happens. I would encourage everybody to go through CPE, clinical pastoral education. But what it is it takes three areas and seeks to make them complementary. So, for example, we don't teach theology. Somebody who is trained as a clinical pastoral educator may be of any denomination, any faith group. I took my CPE training from a United Methodist pastor because that's the hospital and the program that was available in Cincinnati at the time, and also from a Disciples of Christ. But I did not go there to learn my theology. I learned my theology in my undergraduate and in seminary training, and then also after that time. So what we do is help a pastor or a deaconess or a commissioned worker. Sometimes we work with lay people also who are in Stephen's ministry and want to embellish their strengths and visitation abilities, and help them to articulate that theology in a way that makes sense to people, that communicates clearly and simply. So knowledge and skills. Knowledge is one area, theology and knowledge. A second area has to do with skills, is teaching additional skills, interpersonal skills on communicating with people of, you know, there's such a thing as we call emotional intelligence these days. And it's also recognizing one's own emotions and other people's emotions, and when there's conflict and how to address that conflict and those feelings between people. In other words, how to be compassionate and empathetic. I can tell you that growing up in my household, it was a difficult situation, and I really learned how to stuff my emotions. And so that passage in Romans, where Paul says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep, was quite a challenge for me. And I had to learn how to weep with those who weep. And that takes time. And that leads me then to the third area. So you have theology and knowledge, you have skill development, and then you have your personality. And that means we all have strengths and limitations, and our strengths enhance ministry. Our limitations get in the way. District presidents often tell us that's the hardest part of their task, and that is pastors and others who don't realize how their personality creates problems in the parish, and it ends up in their office. And so we help ministers identify their strengths and limitations and to address those limitations in ourselves. And then when those three, if I may just say one more thing,
sure.
Andy, as those three work with each other, they complement and integrate. And so the more integrated they become and interdependent, we call that pastoral care competency.
So clinical pastoral education, as you said, is not something that every pastor goes through, but certainly would benefit from. And so who are the folks, who are the pastors, and you mentioned some laity as well that utilize CPE now. Who are those who primarily go through CPE at this point?
It is required for anybody who is going into pastoral counseling. It's sort of the introduction to pastoral counseling professionally. And after that, their training may be in addition to CPE, and usually, in fact, it has to be in addition to CPE. And if you're teaching, obviously, teaching clinical pastoral education, you have to have extensive training in it. But it's also for chaplains and VA chaplains. Military chaplains are not required to have CPE. Some have. They have a different route to their training and credentialing. It is not required for emergency services chaplains. There's another route for them in becoming credentialed, or for disaster response chaplains. It is for hospital chaplains and hospice chaplains, and there are certain, CPE is divided into units of training, so 400 hours is a unit of training, and it's a 100 to 300 ratio, so there's 100 hours of meeting in the classroom and with individual supervision and writing what's called verbatims and case studies and having them critiqued by your supervisor and peers, and then 300 hours of application of ministry that you bring back into the classroom and intentionally reflect on.
You mentioned a pastoral counselor. Can you elaborate on that? What is a pastoral counselor or pastoral counseling?
Pastoral counselor is somebody who may or may not be a pastor. They may be a trained layperson, or it may be a commissioned minister of the gospel who have gone through seminary or their training at university, have graduated or certified in our church body, who have now gone on to receive additional training. It's like somebody who wants to teach at the seminary. If you want to teach homiletics at the seminary, graduating from the seminary will not be enough. You will have to become additionally skilled at homiletics, for example, and delivery, and then you may be qualified to have that position. So also in chaplaincy or in pastoral counseling, you asked, in order to have somebody's life in your hands, which is what happens. They come to you, they open up their chest, they take their heart out, place it into your hands, and that is a very holy moment when they entrust you with some crisis in their life, some pain, a grief from a terrible loss in their life. Perhaps it's something from their distant past that has crept into their life in the here and now, and it's getting in the way of their marriage. And they need to talk about it and address it. And they trust you with that kind of information and those kind of intrapersonal dynamics. And so you have to prepare yourself to receive people in that kind of shape.
How is pastoral counseling different from other types of counseling?
Pastoral counseling for the typical parish pastor is very important. I mean, that is the first line of pastoral counseling and mental health for most people. And therefore, it's incumbent upon the parish pastor, I believe, to reach out and get whatever continuing education he can in counseling. And there are counseling centers all around the country. And of course, electronically, there are more of them online where you can become part of an online or e-group to work on those skills and to bring your experiences from the parish into that electronic classroom. And those are tremendous help for pastors. But pastors usually have the individual who comes to them and says, "My pastor, my marriage is falling apart. Or my son has just rebelled against me, and I don't know what to do. Or I'm struggling with this addiction in my life, and I don't know where to go." You have to give that person a lot of courage who comes to the pastor. So what's the pastor going to do with that? The pastor can develop those basic skills to hear and receive that person's pain and suffering, and to hold it gently, carefully, and then to be able to offer them God's grace, but then also refer them to somebody who is more professionally trained to deal with some of the more demanding dynamics that exist within all of us.
So pastoral counseling, as you said, is pastors and those who serve in pastoral counseling quite often are that first line, that first contact that someone might make when they're seeking out assistance or support.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it so critically important for each pastor. And pastors are so busy. You know, I've been a pastor in an inner city church in Cincinnati, and I've served as a chaplain here in St. Louis in both places as a clinical pastoral educator. Just recently, while I was serving as circuit counselor, I was a vacancy pastor at a local church. It was the first time I pastored a suburban church. It's a unique experience, but not for most of our pastors in our denomination, our beloved synod, but it was for me. they work hard. These parish pastors, they have a lot of work to do that never ends, and they're very diversified. And so it's a challenge to cut out a piece of time and say, I'm going to get the additional training I need to become more competent, additionally competent in pastoral care and counseling to serve my people. And elders, by the way, if I may put a plug in, elders, by the way, have a responsibility, I think, to care for the pastor and the family, for all the called ministers of that congregation and their families, and to make sure that they are taking care of themselves and getting the kind of support they need to serve the congregation.
Sure, it's very easy for pastors and other church workers to become so overworked sometimes that because they want to care for their congregation so deeply and so much that they forget to take care of themselves and become exhausted. So it is certainly important to have elders and others looking out for them, making sure that they're not becoming exhausted so that they can serve well.
Absolutely. And that's and they have many needs of people pulling in different directions. And it's not that the congregation wants to abuse a pastor. Of course not. But people have needs, and they come to him, and if he doesn't take care of himself and take care of his family, eventually he will be violating his own baptismal covenant and will offer less than more.
Well, I want to talk in just a little bit. We need to take a break, but I want to talk about, right after that break, about an educational event coming up in the specialized pastoral ministry here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I want to talk about that. So hope you can stick around for the conversation. We've got more to talk about with Reverend Joel Hempel from Specialized Pastoral Ministry right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This week on Issues Etc., a series on the parables of Jesus, the parable of the wise and foolish builders with Pastor Bill Swirla, Dr. Lane Berglund on the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the lost sheep with Dr. Scott Murray, and the parable of the prodigal son with Pastor Peter Bender.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Like the disciples bringing the gospel to the people at Pentecost, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates and publishes books that explain the Bible for people in languages they can read and understand. From Sudan to Thailand, Chile to Siberia, the Holy Spirit is working powerfully through His written word to bring people to faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To learn more about this important mission and how you can help, go to lhfmissions.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Danny Bates. We are talking with the Reverend Joel Hempel, Manager of Specialized Pastoral Ministry in the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we've been talking about specialized pastoral ministry. That includes chaplains for a variety of settings, whether it be hospital chaplains or emergency services chaplains, a variety of settings and pastoral counseling, all these things that make up, well, specialized pastoral ministry. Now, there's a workshop or an event coming up in the not too distant future for those in specialized pastoral ministry. Tell us about that.
That would be the Continuing Education Specialized Pastoral Ministry Event and Retreat. That's October 28th to the 30th. It's here in St. Louis at the Mercy Retreat Center. It's the second that we've had. Our first one, we began in February. We're planning to have them regionally. We have one scheduled in May, which will also be in St. Louis on a different theme. And then we'll be taking it to Indianapolis in the fall. And then after that, we'll be going to those parts of our country where our specialized pastoral ministers are clustered.
What would one gain from this event and retreat?
Well, there are many opportunities to gain. First place, it's bringing together people who do ministry like I do ministry. We are a very congregationally based denomination, and understandably so. And so if you minister outside of that norm, you're often not understood as, you know, what kind of a minister is that? Or people who do institutional chaplaincy, they may be a prison chaplain or a fire chaplain, hospice chaplain. They're often asked, when are you going to get a real job or become a real pastor? That actually is offensive to people in specialized pastoral ministry because they've been called there by God. It's not something that they just chose on their own because they thought it would be fun. So it brings together people to network and find support and encouragement from each other to share best practices, but also it's to learn. Mm-hmm. And we have presenters, like for example, coming in the fall, we have Phil Kienert, who is a pastoral counselor, and we'll be talking about pastoral care in pluralistic contexts, which is where we work. Mm-hmm. We don't work in the kind of Missouri Synod-only setting, but rather in a setting where there are multiple cultures and religions and denominations and conflicting interests and sometimes competing interests. And so how do you do ministry in that kind of a setting? And then mm-hmm. we did a survey of our constituents and asked them what topics are most on their hearts and minds. And one of them was ministry in a pluralistic setting. The other one was self-care and well-being. How do they take care of themselves or don't take care of themselves? And so we have also Lee Joston, who is a clinical pastoral educator. He also, toward the end of his career in full-time ministry, was a vice president up in the Lutheran General Hospital in Chicago, and he will be addressing the group on self-care and wellness. And then we have Bible study, Russell Helbig, who is a Federal Bureau of Prison chaplain. He's a very accomplished exegete, and will be spending some time in scriptures with us, taking a look at what does the Bible have to say about ministry in a pluralistic setting.
All of those are important topics, I think, that we face today, no matter what setting you're in as a pastor or a church worker. But I can imagine definitely in these settings that you're talking about as a chaplain or some sort of specialized pastoral ministry, where you're faced with, as you said, you're not in the middle of an LCMS congregation. You've got all kinds of religions, different cultural contexts going on in your setting. And that could be draining, and you don't necessarily have the support of a group of elders or someone like that, or even members of the congregation, just pouring out love for you and caring for you. You're serving in a setting where sometimes you might feel like the only one who's standing up for the gospel and presenting the gospel where you are.
Well, it can be draining, but it can be enlivening also. Mm-hmm. Because of the diversity, it's in many ways the diversity is beautiful, challenging. But if we keep in mind that from one blood God created all the nations of the world, these are God's creation. These are people for whom Jesus died on the cross. He loves them unconditionally. He loves them. He wants them to know about His Son Jesus Christ. And so, if we are able to bring that same kind of attitude into that context, then whoever we meet mm-hmm. is a child whom God loves, and they have great value. And when we approach people that way, that communicates. So we may differ at different times. I remember when I was going through training in my clinical pastoral education with a rabbinical student, and we got to Easter. He and I we started out in September, and we became very good friends because we we wrestled with some of the same issues on the floors of the hospital as we were learning our craft, and spent a lot of time talking and sharing stories about our families. When we approached Easter, it occurred to us that we could not celebrate in the same way. And that was a painful realization. Now, you'd think, well, of course you know that. But you know that at a different level when you're with somebody that you care about, that you can't celebrate in the same way. And we had some very deep discussions around that event in our lives, and very productive.
I wouldn't think. How did someone in rabbinical studies even approach the topic of Easter?
Well, it's been a lot of years ago, Andy, so I can't tell you exactly what the man said. But he obviously said he couldn't celebrate in the same way, and that Passover is what they celebrated. And we talked about how communion, how I believe communion came out of Passover, what we believe. And he listened to me, and he listened respectfully. I honestly don't know that it changed him. Maybe at some point the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, but I'm not in charge of that.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably something for everyone to understand in specialized pastoral ministry, that we're not in charge of God's work. Rather, we're given to deliver his gifts, but we're not in charge of his work. He's the one who causes the growth. He's the one who causes the change.
And that's a very good point that you raise. And when you talk about ministry in a pluralistic setting, we're challenged with some questions. One of the things we're doing is, at this next event, is breaking out into small groups, and we're doing some light things just to have fun and connect with each other. But we're also doing some serious things, and I've asked the presenters to give us half a dozen questions that we can take into the small groups, and the facilitators will lead the group, and each group is unique and will unfold in its own way. Mm-hmm. But one of the questions the presenter sent me yesterday, a couple questions, are these. What does it mean to confess Christ in a secular or pluralistic setting? What does it mean to confess Christ in this very diverse, not necessarily Christian setting? And then he asked a more provocative question, which we'll bring into that small group. At what point and under what circumstances might you be called accountable for denying Christ? And he referenced Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, where it states, whoever confesses or acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. That's a very confrontational, very challenging statement for Jesus to make. And it's one that I think that invites all of us to be in tension about, creative tension, so that we can consider ways in which we can acknowledge Christ. And so one of the things we'll be doing at this event is, together as colleagues, wrestling with how do we become aware of when the Holy Spirit is leading us into those conversations? What do we do to prepare ourselves to give testimony to what we believe?
In a pluralistic context, in a pluralistic society. Well, it sounds like a great event. It sounds like a lot of good instruction, a lot of good conversation, and some networking and fellowship, just a mutual consolation, if you will, of the brethren. Who might want to sign up for this? Who might want to enroll in this event?
Before I respond to that, I should also say that we have worship. And the last time, Chaplain Will Whedon was our preacher, and Derek Walter, who is one of our VA chaplains, served as liturgist. And so it was a pleasure to gather around and to worship and to commune together. And it was sponsored by the chaplain's congregation. So who would be interested in this, you say?
Yes.
Well, of course, those who are ecclesiastically endorsed. We didn't talk about that, but ecclesiastically endorsed chaplains and pastoral counselors and clinical educators and fire and police chaplains. We're encouraging all of them from around the country to come. It is a free event, And it's free only because of the generosity of the people who are listening to this program, because they contribute to our church body, and it empowers our church body to provide this kind of support to those on the front lines in hospitals and prisons and so forth. So it's for them. Mm-hmm. It is for those who are seeking perhaps a vocational change or becoming bivocational. We used to call it sort of the worker priest ministry, but now it's bivocational. And a lot of congregations cannot afford their own full-time pastor, and so mm-hmm. a pastor has to figure out how else they're going to bring income. I spent my 17 years raising my own income, part of my own income, when I was an inner-city pastor, because that's what was called for. And so pastors, when I came out of the seminary, I intended to be a parish pastor. I had no interest in becoming a specialized pastoral minister. Apparently, God had a different interest in me. And I discovered this new route that he introduced me to. And so it's for those people who are seeking to figure out what God is doing in their life, and this may be a way for them to discover that.
Very good. And how can they register? How can our listeners find out more about this event, and how might they register?
They may go online mm-hmm. to the LCMS webpage and type in specialized pastoral ministry. That will take them to our landing page, and they will find a registration form and more information about the conference. They will also find the all the contact information and my name and phone number. And if they call this international headquarters, they will get the information they need.
And registration details, the cost for this event?
As I mentioned, it costs nothing to them. It costs the church body. And we are also providing travel scholarships this time. So somebody coming, the first one we offered, we did not offer travel scholarships except in a few cases, and people drove to it. Now mm-hmm. we're reaching out to people beyond the greater St. Louis area. And so anybody who wants to come, we're giving a scholarship up to $250 to help pay the way.
Very good. And that's coming up, Lutheran Pastoral Care in Pluralistic Contexts, October 28th through the 30th, 2014. So just coming up this fall here in the St. Louis area at the Mercy Conference and Retreat Center. Hope you can, you can find out more about it. If you want to find out more, just go to lcms.org and you can look for specialized pastoral ministry there and register for it online as well there. Well, we've been talking with the Reverend Joel Hempel. He's manager of Specialized Pastoral Ministry in the Office of National Mission. Pastor Hempel, thanks for being our guest this morning.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the Daily Lectionary. We're going to study today with the Reverend Mark Schultz from Epiphany Lutheran Church in Tallahassee, Florida. Hope you can join us for that conversation as well.